And without further ado, I have the special pleasure of announcing our awesome preacher for tonight. And that is, let's stand to our feet, Evie. Woo! She's shaking her head. But
hello, everyone. Good morning, good evening, and everything in between. Nobody gets that. That's from a podcast. Listen to the morning shift, anyways. How is everybody? Good? Feeling good? It's a Friday, big week, middle of the term for us school people, maybe. I don't know. I'm in uni schedule. I don't know what's going on with that. Anyways, I'm going to put away my headphones. Now, that Wookie, was that hard? Yeah, so that was hard enough watching those footy players do that, and they couldn't understand what one person in front of them was saying. So typically multitasking is pretty hard, right? I know that for all my girlfriends, my gal pals in the room, we're pretty good at multitasking, I would like to say. Especially I know there's some mums in the room. Mums are pretty good at multitasking. Boys, on the other hand, I don't know. I think you're a little bit worse than us with multitasking. But yeah, but a lot of us, doing two things at once is really tricky. That's why, like, we shouldn't text and drive or go on our phones and drive, because that's tricky. And I know none of you do that. Anyways, yeah, it's why sometimes it's a sign just to catch your breath, like I need to do right now because I've been laughing so hard. Slow down, focus on one thing at a time. And I'll get back to how this relates to what I'm sharing on in a moment. So tonight I'm speaking on a little bit of a big topic. It's a little bit daunting. And that topic is tithing or money. More specifically, giving, what the Bible has to say about our finances. And I was reading through the Bible and it has a lot to say about our money, which I was a bit surprised about. Like Jesus talks a lot about it. The Old Testament talks a lot about it. Yeah, and you might not have heard that word before, tithe. It's a bit of an interesting word. And you might not even know that many Christians sitting here today even give regularly in church offerings give to God. Maybe you did know that and you want to know why. But before we get to our why, let's have a little rewind, a little back to history, and I'm going to share a little bit of where tithing came from, a little bit, because it's quite a big topic. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview. Everyone say brief overview. Sounds good. All right. Who's heard of the Torah? Me. That's the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in these books, there were 613 about that laws given to Moses. That includes the Ten Commandments, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And there were many different kinds of laws: don't steal, don't murder, honor your parents. There were weird laws I was reading. You weren't allowed to leave a hole in the ground that an animal might be able to fall into and die. Did anybody else know that? I didn't know that. So, but some of these laws resulted in death if you disobeyed them. This one didn't result in death. You just had to, like, take the dead animal as your own, even though it was dead, I was reading, which just seems kind of pointless to me, but there we are. There was also heaps of laws around tithing, offering, giving money to God or to other people. So the word tithe is an Anglo-Saxon word. It's an English word that means tenth. So that's been, like, taken from the translation. But the Hebrew word would have been maaser, I think you say, M-A-A-S-E-R, which also means one-tenth. It's just been kind of translated into English. And at the beginning of the Bible, God commanded certain groups through this law to pay tithes, like the Israelites, and that would have been 10% of their income at the time, or crops. It wouldn't have been money, it would have been crops. And this tithe went to either the temple, which is their church, or to specific other people groups that were in need. So, for example, the Israelites paid tithe to the Levites, another people group, because the Levites, they didn't have any way of making an income on crops because they didn't have any land, because they were commanded to serve the Israelites, which is a bit of a fun fact. You can read up on that in the first books of the Bible if you want to. Yeah, and so God commanded the Israelites to tithe through the law because it was right for them at the time. And it provided for the priests and temple attendants and people groups like the Levites who couldn't provide for themselves or make an income elsewhere. And it forced them to trust in God and to believe that he would provide so that they could provide for each other, which was pretty cool. They all kind of helped each other because God commanded them to do so. You might say, why are we talking about this today? Because that was so long ago. Why would I give my money now? Why, like, they gave crops back then. How is that relevant? I don't have wheat to give. I don't have just like a wheat farm in my backyard. Maybe have other kinds of farms. We have a veggie garden, but like, I'm not going to give my capsicum to God or my zucchini or whatever to God. And so there's so much to say. There's so much in the New Testament about finances, and Jesus made some really good remarks and taught some really good things about money. So I just want to read a little bit about what he says. So if we can put that scripture up. So it's Matthew 6, 19 to 24, and this is in his famous sermon in Matthew called Sermon on the Mount. And it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." And I'm just going to stop there for a sec. Can you just flick to that meme, please? When a thief breaks into your house looking for money, I'll look with you. I don't know. I found that meme on someone that I follow's Instagram. She's a pastor, so I thought it was appropriate to share because, yeah, anyways, it kind of speaks. It's kind of funny. Anyways, let's go back to that scripture. Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So he puts it quite plainly there, I think. Just like in our game, it was so tricky to multitask for Wocky to hear what they were both saying. Jesus says it is also tricky to multitask and serve two masters. It's so tricky to serve treasures on earth like money and possessions and equally serve treasures in heaven like our relationship and our trust in God, because we can't serve money and God. We can't. So I've titled this message, "Money is not the master." Alrighty. So like, unlike those in the Old Testament, we have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. We have Jesus, and we're not bound by the law that Moses was given in the Old Testament. We aren't forced to tithe. We don't actually have to. We don't have to do anything. God has given us the ability to make choices for ourselves and choices about what we do with our lives. We can do whatever we want with our lives, but obviously God wants us to live his way because he wants us to produce good fruit in our lives and live as children of God and live out the plan that he has placed in our path. But I guess if we're saying, oh, I don't have to tithe because I'm not bound by the law, but if we read or we hear things about surrendering our finances to God or tithing to him and we feel uncomfortable or uneasy, maybe we need to start asking ourselves some questions like, have I given my whole life to him or maybe just parts? Am I serving God maybe until it's just convenient? Do I trust God with every aspect of my life, including my finances, even if I feel like I don't have much? And in this world, it's popular to live just for you, just for yourself. And so this is a very countercultural idea. So it is a bit tricky to wrap your head around, I can understand. And yeah, it's not a popular idea, but we are commanded to be not of this world. That's our theme for the year at church. And it says in the Bible that we are not of this world. So who are we to deny our responsibility in surrendering every part of ourselves to God, including our money? And who are we to deny our duty to place him above anything else. Yeah, so we have a duty to serve him, not money. So that's my whole underpinning reason, I guess. In short, you could, I guess, cut the sermon there and say we tithe because we need to serve God over money. But I want to kind of break that down a little bit and provide some more reasons as to why we should still give today, still, surrender our money to him in this kind of modern age. So my first point is that tithing shows that you trust God with your money. Tithing shows you trust him with your money. So almost every day on TikTok, who's on TikTok? I'm on TikTok. Yep. My parents are always like, delete TikTok. I'm like, no. Anyways, So I always see videos of people like, here's a side hustle that I'm doing. Here's how to make money in your sleep. Here's this marketing. Here's this. And it's this kind of, like, it's interesting and it's cool to see how people are making money and creating money for themselves. I think it promotes this kind of culture and idea that money is the be-all and end-all. That you need to work this 9-to-5, you need to go to school, study, work a 9-to-5, and then also make money in your sleep and have this hustle that kind of goes while you're not going, I guess. It perpetuates this idea that money is that status symbol, that fame and money, and this celebrity has $1 billion and this one is doing this for money and whatever and whatever. Our culture is so money focused. And it will tell you that money is comfort, it's safety, it's what you need to make it. It'll make you famous, it'll make you this, it'll make you that. But in reality, money will fail you. It is of this world, it is fallible. It is temporary, it won't last forever. And those side hustles that only last so long, whatever you're doing there only lasts so long. That trend, only trendy for so long. But the promises and the commandments of God will never fail you. You know, so we'll flick to 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, the enemy, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and his only weapon is lies. He has absolutely no truth to stand on. So he will try and lie to you about your money. You need more. You need more. You need this. You need this. You need this possession. You need to make money so that you can buy this. And he will kind of, I guess, get in your ear about how you need more money because God isn't providing enough for you. And so you might fall into this trap of trusting money over God, and that will take precedence in your life. But as Christians, a fundamental belief that we have is that God created everything, and that everything that we have, including our money, is from him. Our job, our school, our friends, our whatever, is because he has actually provided it to us. So whatever we have in that moment is because he gave it to us. And the enemy only lies to you about that. And if everything I own is his, and if he commands me to trust in him, which he does, why would I not trust him with my money? Why would I give him every aspect of my life but this one part? Yeah, so we should give because we trust him, not because we feel like we have to. And you know, like, we're not doing him any favors by giving him our money. Like, he doesn't need it. He's the king of everything. So he doesn't actually need our finances. But in tithing and in giving back to him, that is giving him access to rule every part of your life, which I think is so important. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19, it says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. You know, it says here what I've already been saying now, but money is so unreliable. It says that in scripture. But God is reliable, and we can trust that God will never, ever, ever fail us. And so the physical act of tithing and giving our worldly possession back to him, that is obedient. And he will multiply that obedience if we are faithful, you know. So it's a physical way to say to him, God, I trust you. You are king of my life, not the things of this world, not money. So that's my first point, that tithing shows that you trust God with every aspect, including your money. So my second point is tithing physically shows that you love God. Right? So someone came up to you and said, Tamara, right, I love you and I gave you everything you need, right? You will live forever because I took away what stops you from living forever. But because you love me, I'm asking you to give a small portion back to me. I'm asking you to give it back, not because I'll love you anymore, but because it shows me that you love me as well. And Tamara was like, nah. I still love you, but too hard. Can't do it. Don't want to. Could you imagine that if we said that to God, right? He's saying, I gave you everything. He died on the cross, right? He's like, you will live forever. And he's asking for us to give one portion back because to show him that we love him, right? So there were some people in the Bible called the Sadducees, right? And there were some Jewish people who they were very, very, very caught up in the law, and they didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, right? And so one of them, in Matthew 22, 36 to 40 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." You know, God commanded us to give and tithe and to still obey the law, but through Jesus, he commanded us to love first and obey the law out of love rather than out of routine and because we feel like we have to, you know? When we give, God sees our attitude and our heart over the actual physical, like the physical act of giving. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7 says, "The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know, we give because we love God and because God is pleased with someone who gives cheerfully. And our hearts should be that of a giver because God's heart is and was that of a giver. You know, the core of the gospel, John 3:16, God loved, so he gave. God loved, so he gave. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." He gave because he loved. And he gave us everything so that we can give through tithing and also so that we can bless others, right? Sometimes God calls us to love others and bless our neighbor through our finances. You know, I remember being in kids' church, so it's probably late primary school, and we were taking up a seed offering, which is an offering outside of regular kind of tithes and offerings. And it provides the money that is given in that, provides for our community, provides for our building, chaplaincy, missions. I can't quite remember what the exact kind of, big thing that we were giving towards that year. I think it was around 2014 or 2015 or something like that. But I remember hearing from God quite clearly that he wanted me to give $50, right? And as an 11-year-old, that was heaps to give, right? Heaps to give as an 11-year-old. But because I trusted him, I loved him, I was like, and because I had given on my pocket money, like I was introduced tithing quite young, so I'd already given on my pocket money up until then. So I was like, yep, God, I'll trust you. And I remember bringing that yellow $50 note to church to put into that offering. And yeah, I trusted and I needed to be faithful with that because I loved him. And I learned that tithing then was a good way to set my heart in a rhythm of generosity. That because I had tithed already, it was still hard and it was still a sacrifice, but I trusted in God that giving was because I loved him and that he would use that. And it outweighed my fear, I guess, of losing money. You know, Jesus lived a life of sacrifice out of love. So should we not do our best to imitate him and sacrifice in our own life, maybe through our finances? So he loved us first so that we can love first, and he gave so that we can give out of love, you know? So that was my second point. Tithing physically shows that you love God. All right, leads me to my third point and my last point. Tithing honors God, right? Honors God. No, in this world, we honor people for various things, right? If the king came to your house, you'd have to do a little curtsy or a bow or something if you're a boy. Actors and singers, we honor them with awards like Grammys or Oscars or things like that. School teachers, we say, "Good morning, Mrs. Claxton." Yeah, we say something like that. And I'm sure everyone lines up quietly outside their classroom for their teacher. I'm sure everybody does that here who's in school, lines up so quietly. That's honouring to your teachers, right? And so the Bible tells us that giving back to God with our finances is a way to honour him. It thanks him. It says, "Thank you, God, for giving me everything that I have." Proverbs 3, 9 to 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." You know, when we bring our first 10% to him, this idea of first fruits, our first lot of money, the Bible says that this is honoring to the Lord and that through our honoring of him, that he will bless us. Our barns and vats, whatever that looks like, our I guess, lives will be overflowing. And this might not necessarily mean that your bank account instantly has heaps and heaps of money in it, or your wallet just goes poof and there's like, I don't know, $50 notes in there or something, which would be nice, but God doesn't really do that. But we can trust that in God's timing, that he will bless us in his own way if we honour him with what he has entrusted us with. You know, when I was in year 10, so this was in the middle of 2019, I really wanted to go on a mission trip with school. This was to Fiji. And at the time, I had just started a job. I was working for Josh at Cafe Cornerstone on a Saturday. But I wasn't working there very much, like just doing Saturday work here and there. And I was occasionally working for a friend's business. And my parents had told me that if I wanted to go, I had to make up a portion of that money myself. It was $500 I had to make up. And as a 15-year-old, that's heaps. I was like, how the heck am I going to make up that money when I have only just started a job, my hourly rate is so small, I'm only working like 5 hours a week? How would I do this? And I remember Mum and Dad saying to me, just trust, just pray that he will give you opportunity to make this money. And if he wants you to go on this trip, then you'll be able to make that money or something along those lines. And in the next 2 weeks, it was school holidays. And in that time, I was given so many opportunities to work for Josh and for my friend's business. And I made up the entire amount of money in that 2 weeks in the holidays, right? And as a 15-year-old, like that was crazy that I was able to do that. But I truly believe that God saw the desires of my heart. He saw my faithfulness with tithing in the past, and then he provided me with ways that I could make the money. He didn't just say, here's that money. He says, here's how you can work for that. Here's the opportunities to make that money. And then I was able to go and be a part of this school missions trip, which was incredible. Ultimately, if you don't tithe, God isn't going to be like, oh, no blessing for you. No blessing for you today. You know, he's just not like that. That's not in his character. He can and he still will provide for you. But by honouring him with our money through tithing, this aids you in looking more clearly for where he is in your life. Like I said earlier, it sets your heart in a rhythm of giving, in a rhythm of generosity. You know, at the end of the day, money is a world thing and a world thing only. It's not an eternal thing. 1 Timothy 6 verse 7 says, "For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it." We should tithe and we should honour him with what we have, because at the end of the day, we can't take it with us to heaven. We can't take it with us into the next part of our lives. That's why Jesus says not to store up treasures on this earth, but honour him with what you have now. So, to summarise my three whys, we should ultimately tithe because tithing demonstrates that you serve God over money. That is the big reason, right? But under that, tithing is obedient. It shows you that you trust, it shows him that you trust him with everything that you have, including your money. It shows him that you love him first over anything, and it is honoring to him and a way of saying thank you for what he has blessed us with. Right? And you might say, how do I move on from here? I know all these things. I know why I should, but what does that look like practically? So I'm gonna share a little bit about what it's looked like practically for me in my life. I've already shared a couple of stories, but I really haven't always found tithing easy. You know, because it was introduced to me from such a young age, I was always taught to tithe on whatever money and increase that I have. And that sometimes isn't very much. And so tithing on that is tricky and it's hard. And I live at home and I'm a full-time student. And so I don't have a lot to pay for, but it is still tricky. When I was younger, Mum and Dad gave me and Darcy and Bella three jars. I had a tithing jar, I had a spending jar, and I had a savings jar. So they were teaching us then how to, I guess, split or steward our money in a way. So yeah, one jar was tithing, then spending and savings. And so when I got my $5 pocket money, we had to break it up into coins, put the 50 cents into the tithing jar first, and then split up the rest into spendings and savings. And over time, it built up and I would bring it to church on a Sunday and drop my coins in the purple bucket as it went past. And then in my savings, that went into a bank account and I didn't touch that. And my spendings would often result in a trip to Smiggle or something like that in primary school to get like that $2 razor or something like that. You know, who loves Smiggle? I loved Smiggle when it was like broken up into like the colours. Now it's just a rainbow vomit. Obviously, now tithing looks different for me because I have my own, I have access and I have control over my own funds. But, you know, God saw me when I was giving my 50 cents on $5. He saw me when I was earning $60 a week at the cafe and what I was tithing on then. He saw me when I'm giving now on my bigger but still not super big Kmart wage. And he will see me next year when I move into a season of full-time work. And that will look different again. And I will still have to trust him just the same into my full-time season as I have in my part-time season, as I did in my Saturday season, and as I did in my chore money when I was 10. And you might hear this and say, like, I don't even have $5. I don't have anything to give at all. What I have is so little. God doesn't want my little. He doesn't want what I have. And so to that, I would just like to read a small passage in Luke that talks about this. And it's in Luke 21, 1-4. And it says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. You know, at the end of the day, your little, what you can give, what you do give, means so much to him. Unlike the Old Testament, you won't be punished for how much you give or how much you don't give, whether it's less than 10, 10% or more than 10%. And it isn't always easy, like I've said. But I know for me, I want to live as a child of God for the rest of my days, not as a child of money. Because you can't be a child of money. It just doesn't make sense. I want to live for something that doesn't fail me, that will never, ever, ever fail me. So I would just say to you who might be hesitant to start, I guess, trusting God with your finances, to try it out. Test him in this area, because the Bible says that we are allowed to test him in this area. See how it goes when you give a portion of your finance back to him. Or maybe you can start with something else. Maybe you don't make any money at all as a young person. Maybe you can start tithing your time. When you get back home from school, open your Bible, read your word, or pray, I guess, to him. That's tithing your time then. And then eventually when he blesses you with finance, you can begin to trust him in that area then. I just encourage you to dedicate every aspect of you to him, because you won't regret it. So with that, we're going to break out into some breakout groups. Before we do that, I would just like to encourage that anybody who is leading a breakout group, I'll just encourage you to share your testimony of giving with your young people that you have. And anybody who is in a breakout group, please ask questions about it to the leader, because I know that this is a big topic. I think my questions will be up there. What is something that surprised you about the topic of giving? So anything, it's just kind of like a go around the circle and just say what surprised you. Are you happy with how you use your money? Why or why not? And what is your next step? What changes now? And I really encourage you all to come up with something that you might take forward into this next week or next month or next year even. And maybe you could even like set some goals with each other and see what that looks like for you. So yeah, if we want to just do that now, break out into some groups, maybe put